folks, welcome to the Redneck Country Podcast. I am on with Rio Redneck Bill Tom. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am. Happy Thursday, everybody.
happy social distancing, locked in your homes Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you.
A little crazy, but yeah, I'm seeing some interesting hairstyles and haircuts, and it's going crazy here.
Yeah, no comment. I don't know what I did. I had to take a picture or something, and I fired up my phone, and my camera was on selfie mode. Of course, everybody that knows me that listens is rolling their eyes right now, but fired up my camera, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not even a filter. And I swear to you, so I snapped the photo and I sent it to my wife and I said, that's like one of those aging apps. And like, no lie, I looked like I was like 75.
You're living the aging app with the quarantine. That's awesome.
And I'm like, I haven't had a haircut and my distinguishment is now growing out and coming through. And I finally shaved because I had a Zoom meeting to get on. But yeah, I did. I look like as my mother would say, you look like a hobo.
Yeah.
And I had a Zoom meeting. I wouldn't have if I didn't have to get on camera, but.
And the highlights and all that stuff that you do, they're all gone now, eh?
Well, I never cut them out, so they're probably there. It's just you can't see them through what I call the distinguishment now. It's kind of, it overtakes it. But, oh, my gosh, I put a hat on, and normally my hat would cover my hair, and I got these wings out the side like you would not believe. If I could fly into the turkey blind.
Yeah, and that's where we're at right now, aren't we?
Oh my gosh.
The season's opening up.
We're on the cusp of it just opened up and heading over that bridge. So how did you make out? Did you go out this weekend?
I did. I went out I went out for the opener. I was at their opening morning and you know, I had lost a bunch of property like I was talking to you about a while ago for one reason or another. The landowners weren't interested in having people on their property anymore. And out of respect, obviously, not questioning too much. It limited the areas that I could hunt. And with the whole quarantine deal, I don't feel right going up and starting knocking on doors and asking for permission when we're all supposed to be, you know, social distancing and keeping ourselves away from that type of scenario. So it limits where I can go to, a property real close to the house here, which I deer hunt and goose hunt and turkey hunt on, but county bush, which I found out today is still open, still operational, so still able for me to go. And so opening morning, I went out behind the house here, and sure enough, I had three toms gobbling real close.
Dude, right there behind your house?
Yep, pretty close to behind the house here. And I got a big field, so it was a kilometer and a half walk to where I wanted to hunt, but it right behind the house here. I had to the north about 500 yards these birds gobbling, and I'm thinking awesome. I knew that the birds would be close. I knew that if I could get them within earshot or I'd have a chance. And so sure enough, right at first light, I get all set up, everything's good to go. But they start gobbling before I start calling, which is always good because they set the cadence as to how I'm going to start to call. And back and forth we go a little bit. And I'm not sure if I'm the only one calling based on where the calls are coming from, if that makes any sense.
So you can hear hens calling too?
Yeah, it was – yes, I could, but the toms are more prevalent. So not long after the sun comes up, the goblin stops and three shots happen.
So. But three, like boom, boom, boom?
Boom, boom, boom.
That's usually a sign of that sucker is running away.
Yeah, I was hoping that. And,
as much as you have to hate to put the ill will on a fellow hunter, but.
Yeah, exactly. Especially seeing as there was three toms. At least three toms that I heard gobbling, and there was three shots. I'm hoping somebody didn't get a triple.
Yeah,
that's just
right.
But so I stuck it out after the shots happened because I didn't hear any gobbles after the shots, to be honest with you. But I stuck it out where I was, and about 45 minutes later, the tractor comes up with the seeder, and it was seeding the field just about 20 yards away from my decoys. And I figured by that point in time, the hunt's over. So, but that's the way it goes.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's, and I got out Wednesday morning as well, and nothing, no gobbles, but it was really, really windy and raining and stuff like that. So it was low percentage for me anyway.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. The weather, fighting the weather. Right. So,
yeah.
So Saturday morning, it was opening day of trout and opening day of turkey. So as we talked on last podcast, we got a dilemma whenever that decisions, happens. Yeah. But we do the brown trout stream, the trout hunting. If you listen to earlier podcasts, everybody, you'll know what I mean when I say brown trout hunting. But we do the trout hunting once a year, and it's like the family thing, and the spot is unbelievable. We run into nobody, and there's usually four of us, or if my sister's kid comes with us, there's five of us, but we'll limit out. And some years, like if it isn't bleeding, throw it back so that we can keep on fishing. And so how do you not hit that spot on opening morning? And it seems that we've gone opening morning and then we don't ever go again. And some years we've gone opening morning and then like the next weekend, okay, well, let's go again and see if we, and we don't do near as well. Like we'll catch three or four compared to 20. So we're like, it's gotta be opening day. And I believe because of the way the stream's laid out is they're coming up. And then if it gets too warm too early, or doesn't rain a lot, the water's low, then they've come up, they've spawned, they don't hang around in the stream in that case, and they're gone back. And so you just don't, and that's my theory. And so then we bring them, we go down on opening day. If the water's higher or if it's been colder, we'll do much better. And so, but then the water can't be too high because you still need to find the holes. So how do you give up that you can only hunt those trout that one day? And you really got to go.
So, yeah, you got to. I mean, that's family tradition, first of all.
Yeah.
And second, you guys have had some pretty good luck. So, I mean, I'd be going trout fishing for sure.
Yeah.
Especially seeing as we're on quarantine right now and not working. You got options to hunt turkeys.
That's the other kicker, right? Whenever. And the trout stream is a distance away and turkey hunting's not. So,
So
we got up Saturday morning and we all drove separately. So three vehicles and me and my father could go because as stated in the last podcast that my folks are, I work from home. So my folks come over every day. So they only live a block away anyway. So they've been pretty much living here, part of the family anyway. So we really don't need to quarantine ourselves. But then Scotty drove himself. My brother-in-law drove himself and my daughter was supposed to go. But at 4:30, well, at 4 o'clock, I was just getting out of the shower a.m. Saturday morning. And she goes, "Dad." And I got up at 3:40. She had her alarm set for 4. Do I have to go? I said, "Well, you don't have to go. If you want to go, you can come. It's you're about the age when it's time to pass this on if you want to come. But you can go. Well, can I wait till next year?" I said, "You know what? We'll take you to a couple different streams. Well, because we're on quarantine anyway. And maybe we'll do some fishing through the week and hit some other streams so that you can learn the technique. So next year for that one, you're ready." Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough time of morning for anybody, let alone somebody who's never done it before.
And let alone somebody that's been on quarantine for like, what, a month and a half now, 2 months, and has been staying up till 3 a.m. and not getting out of bed till noon. So,
yeah, that's tough.
So it was a different gig. So we got up, we went, and Park got in there, got in just at the before it was light. And I mean, it was light enough that the sun probably was just starting to come up, but we probably were walking in. I don't know. It was probably a half an hour before shooting time if you were turkey hunting or so. So it was still good dark, but you could see. And got all the way in. And when we the first 10 minutes of fishing, I couldn't see my line in the water. And so that's an issue because you need to see where your line is to know how much more split shot you got to put on, to how fast the water is. You got to get it in the hole. You got to find the holes. So then you got to watch your line to make sure you're guiding it to get down under a log or to get into that hole. So try to do all that jazz and you can't do it if you can't see your line. So finally, once it started to come up, Scotty starts probably 20, 25 yards to my right is where his hole starts. And I go upstream that 25 yards extra to where my hole starts. And he kind of took over my dad. My dad doesn't like to walk all the way as far as we do. So he only goes halfway and then sits down, and he kind of, we still hunt. He's more back to fishing, where he'll just sit there in one spot and hope that the trout come cruising by. So Scotty took dad's spot. And so I heard the water splooshing, and he had caught a couple, but he says he missed a bunch. So I moved probably 5 yards from my opening spot and started, and I caught one.
Scotty, typically, you guys are saying, is the one that starts you off every year.
Because he's got that hole. That hole is awesome, right? I start up from it and then I catch him, because usually when I go with dad, I would start up just a bit from dad, and dad never really fished that high up the stream. And so me being that person that has to go that extra mile, I go past dad and go another 20, 25 yards up. And so I caught one, and I used to catch one there in that hole every year opening morning. So I start there, and then we all end up in that, me and Scott or me and dad would end up in that same hole and fish that hole for a while, because it's a good size back eddy, and there's a bunch of logs here, there, and it's a corner so that you can, there's a lot of spots to fish it. And so we practiced social distancing. I mean, we were probably, I don't know, 10 feet apart. We were probably 4 fishing rods apart as we leapfrogged each other around that hole. But we stayed there for a good hour and a half, because we normally don't. It's normally brown trout. But why Scott was missing so many is we were pulling in chubs or horned aces, if you want to call it. Yeah. Which we typically don't, because browns are so vicious. They'll eat everything. But you catch the odd one. But we were pulling, and they just, you know it. And I hate to say you know it, but it's just a tap, tap. And they'll leave, where browns will normally kind of, you'll feel the tap, but they'll take it and roll with it. And those stinking little chubs, they will play and try to steal your worm, and you'll try to set the hook and nothing, set the hook and nothing, set the hook. And so you got to be right on point and barely catch them in the lip, and oh, you stupid chub. So we caught a few of those, and then we caught some trout and moved along and caught some more. So we ended up with 7 total. So it wasn't a great morning for that spot, but my brother-in-law knew some guys that were down a ways on our way there. We passed some of their vehicles, so we knew that they were down a ways there. And so he was messaging them, and no one was catching anything. They didn't have any. So we were pretty thankful that we caught 7, because everybody else caught suckers and chubs, and that was all around us, like in other local streams close by where we were, that or in little reservoirs. So we were kind of thankful, and you know, everybody has their theories. They were talking, and oh, it's too cold yet, it hasn't warmed up yet. And then others are my theory, where we had that warm snap a little bit ago, and they came up then and went back down. And as the water started to go down, they disappeared with it. And so I don't know. It's hard to say why, but we only caught 7. But we're thankful we caught 7, because from everybody else that normally does okay too on opening morning, they didn't do too good. So we did that.
I tell you, they're definitely fishing trout around home here. I got I was driving home yesterday from work, and there had to be 15 cars crossing the Nottawasaga. On 21, close to home here anyways, but the cars are all lined up. I mean, you can see people on the other side of the bridge, and I was looking down on the water, and they haven't been there up till now. I've personally never fished there to see, but I'm guessing with the season opening up, they're trying their luck, and hopefully they're catching a few. But I don't know if it's too early. Does that mean that you guys are going to try again later in the season, maybe?
I don't know. My brother-in-law will go back up from time to time, so he probably will. We probably won't go to that spot. We may, because, like I said, take Megan up, but we'll go. We got a couple other streams that we'll go try to hunt them on. Some that have rainbows in them versus browns, but same idea, same theory. So we'll try a couple others, and hopefully, if we got time in that. But I've been mouth watering for turkey right now to get out and drop the hammer. So I don't know.
Kind of disappointed with you two, by the way.
Why is that?
I figured you'd have at least one tag filled.
You're stealing my thunder. I didn't get to tell about turkey hunting yet. But yeah, not yet. We got back, and then it was our buddy's birthday, and the quarantine lockdown birthday thing. What do you do? So happy birthday, Kev. But we went out, and his mother had planned, and I'm not quite sure. I'm assuming she's not going to listen to this. I think she's 70, but she's around that. And so she had planned for a message to all of us on Facebook and stuff. Hey, at 3:50, can you come meet at our place? And he lives out in the country, out on a farm. Can you come meet at our place? And they're just a block away. And we're going to have a big caravan. So come, stay in your vehicles. We'll line everybody up, and then we'll do a drive-by happy birthday. And that was pretty cool. So we got some redneck country swag, put it in a bag, and I got the mega horn, my out. And so Scott said, well, if we're going to go out there for that at 3:50, we drive by his place at 4, we could probably be in the turkey woods by like 20 after 4, 4:30 out there.
Beautiful.
And I'm like, yeah, it's not a bad idea. So out we went. Well, they had probably 20 plus vehicles in their laneway, in their long farm laneway. And so we were number 5 and 6, I think. Scotty drove, I drove, Dad was with me. And so waited and made sure they all got in and got lined up, and away we went. And so everybody kind of drove in, and we were cautious. My daughter's got juvenile arthritis, and the medication she takes, they say, can lower her immune system or white blood cells. So I'm very cognizant on being around anybody, as much of a, how contagious is it? How deadly is it? Like, what do you know? What do you believe? We err on the side of caution. So yeah, I didn't want to get, kids are involved, right? Yeah, I couldn't do that. Right. So I didn't want to get too close, even with my windows down and people walking up to the vehicle and stuff. So a little bit cognizant of that, and pulling into to Kev's driveway. So we kind of drove up, and as cars were pulling in down his long laneway, he was out front on the porch just hanging with his family. So I just pulled over, pulled out the megaphone, and then threw the bag of redneck country swag on his front lawn. And he laughed and waved, and away we went. And Scotty drove on. So we followed Scott, and then we went and went hunting. So me and Dad went in and sat together, and Scott went and sat in his spot, and we didn't hear or see a darn thing. But I did find a shed. I went for a walk, and I saw a shed.
Yeah, and that shed was this woods is one you don't deer hunt.
That's, no, we do. Correct? This one we do.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, this one we don't hunt it a lot for anything. We do, and Scotty used to. It's Scott's spot. One that Scott got permission many, many moons ago. And so Scott's been very successful there. And I have some of the turkey stories are from this woods. The spot in stock with Scotty behind me was this field, or this woods. Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. So it's a big horseshoe woods with a field in the middle. And so that was this woods, and the one where Dad and Scott are together, and Scott lets the Jake walk and then pounds the one missed and pounded it real quick, hammered it again while Dad was trying to tape, trying to video. So it was that woods, and Scotty shot some good bucks. In fact, the skull that we use in our deer decal, our redneck country got bucks shirt and decal, is actually the skull, one of the bucks he shot on that property. He's got the skull kind of Euro mounted. And so I took a picture of it, had an artist I know draw it, and then I digitized his drawing, and we've put it on shirts and decals. So kind of cool. But it comes from this property. And so it's actually the shirt I gave to Kev for his birthday. It was in that bag.
From there. So the shed that you found, did you have pictures of him on camera?
No, and so we don't have any trail cameras in that woods, because they're all in other woods, because we kind of know no deer lives in this bush. No deer at all. Well, I shouldn't say that. I know no bucks live in this wood. I know one buck, and I know where he beds down. And quite possibly this is his, I'm pretty certain this is his shed. But mostly the woods is so small, but it's like woods and then 100 yards of field, and then woods and 100 yards of field, and then woods that the deer pass through it like crazy. And that's what, you never seem to see the same two deer. But my gosh, are there some monsters that come through that bush? Like Scotty is shot some big, big bucks, and a lot from there. And he's put one in the shoulder of one that was just a monster. And we never found it. The blood only dropped for a little bit. And man, we tracked for a couple concessions on little tiny drops that we could barely find that just petered out to nothing. And so it was a monster. But there's been lots of deer go through it. I just don't believe any live in it. And so it's not like we want to put cameras out here because there's so many pathways that they can go through that we've done it. We've had cameras, but you never catch A, the same deer twice, and B, it's hit and miss. It's once every 3 weeks you'll see a deer because there's so many trails and so many pathways that they may just be walking 10, 20 yards over. They don't take the same pathway through, and it's this year it's thick, next year it's not. And now with all the wind we had, there's a lot of dead trees in there. And the owner was even cautious of where we put our tree stands. He was trying to teach me how to tell if the tree's close to dead, if it's dead, if it's alive, on where to put my tree stand, because he's all concerned. And so I went for a walk, and oh my gosh, there's so many trees that have fallen down now, and it's insane that it's all going to change again. But there was one heck of a rub line. Now with all the trees being down, it kind of almost, we could put a camera in there because it's almost dictating where they can walk. And so there was a mud path stomped right through the center of that bush. And so I kind of walked it. I wanted to get to the next field over to see if I could see any toms out strutting I could put a stock on. But as I was going, I was following this rub line and this mud path that they've just been tromping on. And sure enough, there's a shed laying there. And I'm pretty sure I know the deer. It's an 8-pointer, so he'll be a bit bigger this year. And
that's exciting. It's exciting to know that he made it through the you guys don't typically have a harsh winter, but it's nice to know that he made it through.
Yeah, no other hunter got him because like I said, they'll go from property to property here, right? Because it's just the bushes are so small. So there's probably a couple hunters hunting the same deer, but or coyotes. But yeah, he made it. So got a shed, and I kind of know where his bedding area is. So as I used to have a stand almost right in front of it without realizing it, I walked in one time with the climber, and I thought I hooked the climber on the one tree and was about to go up it. And I went, you know what? I should just walk over this and look over this knoll. And as I got closer, it was really thick thorns. All of a sudden, that 8-point, it jumps up and he's staring me in the eye. We were 10 yards apart. We just stood there. I didn't know what to do. There's no way I could draw my bow that quick. And we're staring, and then he just took off. And so I kind of figure I went into there and seen the bedding area, and I've seen him coming in and out, and not big enough. I've passed him up a few times. So now he might be getting there. It might be time to get a stand a little bit closer again to that, but I didn't know it was a bedding area at the time. I never really ventured in that far to the bush. So
it's interesting what you find in the turkey hunting woods. You know, quick story before we carry on, but funny you talk about the trees and the farmer teaching you how to identify a dead tree to a live tree. I took Peepy turkey hunting deer hunting one time to a spot that was, you know, a nice little 30-acre farm back on the Crown land. I think I've told the story about this property before. Same property that I saw the hen laying eggs on.
Okay, yeah.
I get to that spot and deer hunting, and we find a nice, beautiful tree for people to get the climber up because we don't have any stands. I don't like to leave them there. And we get up the tree. He does his thing. You know, I hunt on the property. We see deer. We pass on deer. Fast forward to turkey hunting, the same tree that I put them in blew over in a windstorm. And this tree, to me, looked like the most healthy-looking tree that you ever see. It was nice, big around, didn't have marks in it that would lead me to believe that it was dying. And I don't know, it broke off. It didn't get pushed over by a tractor or nothing. It broke off, and I put him up this tree for deer hunting, right? So I don't know. Maybe I need a course in how to tell whether trees are dying or not, so I don't put my buddies.
Well, all he said was, look up. If you see leaves, you're good to you're good to go. If there's no leaves, don't go up it. And I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, that is scary. I know Scotty has he's left the woods because there's enough dead trees around, and he's not in one that is a dead tree, but there's enough around that he's like, no way, one of these is going to fall. It's too windy. Yeah. I'm out. And he's left and done it. I've gone up, and I had the landowner. I left my climber in on one of the trees one time, and it was actually that one by the bedding area that I had just found. And I left it on the tree at the bottom and left, and the landowner called me and he says, hey, I was telling you not to put your tree stand on a dead tree. I'm worried about you. I said, it's not on a dead tree. It's got leaves. You told me to, when I go in the dark, if I look up and I see leaves, I'm good to go. He's like, but the 20 trees around it are all dead. If one of them falls on you, Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, oh, I never thought of that. And so now,
yeah, that's a good point.
Oh yeah, we got a fixed tree stand that's probably, I don't know, 80 yards from where that tree stand was, and it's on that path that I walk through, and almost every tree around it is down except for the one our tree stand is on. So now it's safe. It's just the deer can't get there because it's made like this huge log cabin darn near out of all the down trees. So it's like protected in there. So we'll have to go to get that out. But yeah, it's a scary thing to be thinking about trees coming down. And this winds that we've had recently, man, there shouldn't be any left standing that are potential to fall this fall, I wouldn't think. But I don't know.
Well, there you go. And so no tags filled yet.
No, so we didn't even see a thing. And we went back out. Me and Dad, Scotty's back to work now. And so me and Dad went out. I couldn't take it anymore, seeing all these pictures on Facebook and people hunting.
Yeah.
So I couldn't take it anymore. And I talked him into Mom coming over earlier, because my wife leaves for work around 8. So if Mom could be here around 8. And so then me and Dad left it at, I don't know what time, 4:30 to head out to the turkey woods. And we've got this other spot that we've not really hunted a lot in the last 3-4 years. We've had permission on it for a while, but we never really, we just hunt it when we get bored or we've haunted the other ones and we still got a tag left and we haunted the others too much. So this one, I said to Dad, I know I've been in there so many times that every time we hunt it, we seem to see turkeys cross the field and we've had toms within 100 yards, but not commit. And we're up in this one corner and the property's not that big. And there's a bit of woods and then he doesn't own all of the woods. And then it goes into this year, winter wheat field. Last year it was cornfield, plowed cornfield. And this year it's winter wheat. So I said to him, instead, I've hunted in that corner where Dad likes to go in that corner because you could kind of watch two fields and the woods. And so I went halfway up because every time we're in that corner, I watch turkeys halfway up cut across the field. And there's railroad tracks on the opposite side. They go across the field through this little tiny bush that's alongside the edge of the railroad tracks, so over the railroad tracks into the next field, and they're gone. And so I watch them cross. So I hunted halfway up that field last year, and I had about 3 jakes, I think, and some hens. And I had a jake at 10 yards come right by me. I let him go. I think it was the last day, to be honest with you, last day of season. And I let him go. And they walked straight across the same spot every time. And they go into this little cut and up over the train tracks. So I said to Dad, instead of hunting this side, let's hunt the opposite side right along the edge of those train tracks where they're going to walk to us. And then we got all day as they come. And if they're not coming to the actual opening where we are, because there's a whack load of openings where the deer have made little trails that the turkeys use, I could just quickly back out, run along the tracks to the next little spot that I know where they're going to be and ambush them. And sure. So, yeah, we set up and thought excellent. But like you said, the weather wasn't great. It was overcast and not super windy, but I mean, there was 25, 26 kilometer winds. And I find that when it's that windy, turkeys are typically pretty quiet. They're there, yeah, but they're typically pretty quiet. And I don't know. My theory is that they're too busy watching and looking. Don't want to draw attention to them from predators, so they're kind of walking around on high alert versus walking around looking for a hen. So when we were sitting there, normally I meant to prelude this with it. We 2 years ago, I think, when we were in there, we were set up on the one corner and there was 7 to 10, and I don't remember how many, but 7 to 10 toms cross this backfield, and they weren't close enough for us. They wouldn't come to the call. They were following a bunch of hens, and we couldn't get them close enough to take a shot. But 7 to 10 toms, and I mean,
awesome,
full beard toms. So we know there's turkeys in there. And again, it's small little pieces of bush divided by a bunch of fields. So you just got to be the right spot at the right time, or no hens, so you could decoy them in. But I know they're there. And so when you go in the morning, I mean, it's deafening to hear all the turkeys gobbling. So we got in and set up along the edge of the tracks in the little bit of bush that's there. It's probably 10-15 yards of bush, and set up right on the edge of that field, and we're ready. I'd actually put decoys out. I put 3 AVNX
out. You did.
I did. I seen a lot of pictures with guys calling them into decoys in the last couple. I thought, okay, maybe it's early enough that they're still jacked up and want to fight versus already service some hens and don't care as much, maybe, but I don't know. So I thought, well, we'll put out a couple hens and a jake and the avians because they look so good. So
I'm not putting them out Saturday morning.
You're not putting them out?
No, No, I'm really going to a different spot. I'm not going to cut your story off here, but I'm going to a different spot. Different spot, and I'm going to be hunting in the woods compared to hunting in the field. And I figure
I don't use them in the woods.
No, that's right. And I can be more mobile too.
Yep, you got it.
I'm going
to run a gun, throw caution to the wind. Don't care if you shoot one; just get one close.
Well, that's it. Where this spot here I'm going to is County Bush, and I've never hunted it before for turkeys. I've hunted it for deer and stuff, but you know, being a County Bush, there's more. You maybe see a few more people. Maybe it's changed because of how they logged it, how they're using it with quarantine. Maybe they're walking it more, and it could be. I could sit right underneath a roost tree and be perfect, or I could hear birds. You know, 200 yards away that I have to go find or and hear nothing at all. So I figure if I'm not using decoys, one, they're not going to hang up in the woods.
Yep.
And two, I can be a little bit more mobile.
Yep. Awesome. And I do the same. If I'm in the woods on the edge of the field, it's always a toss up. But I typically do because the fields, you're hunting a field. Well, how do you know they're going to come right here versus 100 yards down? And yeah, they hear the call. They'll look. They don't see nothing. They keep walking. Right. Whereas if you got a decoy on the edge of the field that you're in, okay, fine then. And then if you're hunting the woods on the edge of a field, put them in the field. So if they're coming in the woods, if they do hang up, they're still in range. They hang up within range of you shooting them, right? So that's my theory on the edge of the woods. But yeah, I don't use them in the woods. I just had way too many hang up at 100 yards or 200, sit there. As soon as they can see it, they'll hang back and gobble like crazy and want them to come to them. And then once they don't, they just walk away. Like they're too cool. Yep. So yeah, I'm with you. No, it's all good. We set up. I had the decoys there, and when first light started to come on, usually you're deafened with gobbles and there was nothing. But like you said, it was overcast. It just quit raining. And so Dad says, give it 15, 20 minutes and nothing. So after, I don't know, half hour after light, we started calling a little bit and we had two gobbles way off in the distance and probably 5-10 minutes apart, but that was it. But we know they're there, so we still, and typically Dad has got all kinds of theories that you hear, like if you have them gobbling and then they stop, well, that's when they're coming in. Don't think they left.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
They're shutting up, they're coming in, so don't call. Just leave it alone. You called, you're gonna alert them too much or make them hang up. They'll let them come looking. And so that was the theory, which is good. It keeps you jacked, right? It keeps you looking and waiting. But this huge field thinking we're going to have all these turkeys coming across it. Not one came across that didn't even. I seen a hen when I went for a walk behind us. I ducked back out onto the tracks to check some other fields that all are adjacent. And a hen crossed the tracks way, way down. It never seen me and I seen it, but just went across the tracks from one field to the other. And that's the only turkey I saw. But we did have a couple gobbles. Had some deer come across that field, wanted to come up to our decoys, but they winded us. So yeah, I went live on Facebook, but that was the extent of the turkey.
Well, you got time. So we got time to make magic happen here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. This weekend we'll be hitting her hard. I'll be tired Saturday night, Sunday night from getting up so early both days, but we're going to hit her.
I like naps. Naps are good.
Yeah. I hear you. Tell my wife and kids that.
Yeah.
And you did it yourself. Wake up. Like 2 p.m. on the couch, and you like sneak away, lay on the couch. What are you doing? It's self-inflicted. You're not going to bed now. No sympathy for the self-inflicted.
I can't say the same. My wife is very good. You're tired. Go have a nap, she says. So
what?
I mean, I can get her to call your wife if you want.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's going
to
work.
At about 2 p.m. No, because if we go back out in the afternoon, maybe about 1:15.
Yeah. I never, ever sleep in the bush. That's a lie. Anybody hear that? I do my best not to sleep in the bush, and 9 times out of 10 I do not, no matter how early I get out and how late I turkey hunt. But when I get home, I like to sit and have a little shut eye.
I hear you. I wish I never get to, but if my wife hears this, she'll probably counteract it. And, yes, you do. But yeah. I'd like to, but no, I don't often. But yes, this Saturday, I'm hoping, I'm assuming me and Dad are going to go. I've already got the spot picked out. Scotty's got his spot picked out. I think my daughter's coming with us, my oldest, and I promise we'll be home by 10:30. So man, we'll have turkeys bagged down, done, back home, ready to rock by then. So
I have no doubt you got secret weapon coming, young lady in the woods.
Yeah,
no question in my mind.
I hope so. So I got a corner picked out that it's on the edge of a kind of a slope. It's all pines right across from Scott. Scott's got the honey hole up in the corner and then that magic field where they all head to in the morning. And so they either go by Scott or go to Scott, and we'll be in the exact adjacent corner. But behind us is a meadow, and down below us is a meadow, and there's a pine tree ridge. And so they'll roost in that pine tree. It's just sneaking in and getting that close to the pines without letting them know you're there. And we've done it before and Dad's dropped them. So hopefully we can do this. And me and Dad really want to get a double together. So that'd be kind of cool. And with Megan, but we got three fields we can kind of watch. If I could stay just a touch mobile, Dad likes to sit down. He's not that mobile. So he'll have to stay sat in behind a blind I put up. But my idea is to kind of keep an eye behind us, down below us and out in front of us. And hopefully we'll be able to seal the deal, but I'll be able to move to where they are if they do skirt us. So chances are we're going to see them, and it'll be up to me to get one within shotgun range. But hopefully, well, yeah.
Hoping next week do we get a couple stories of success as opposed to the almost guy. And,
you know. Find out if these podcasts talking to you all the time, you've rubbed off on me. Osmosis through the lines here to the almost guy.
For your sake, brother, I hope not. So tag soup is not good.
I hear you.
Okay, that'll do it for today. So until next time, on behalf of Redneck Country Podcast, I'm Bill Tom.
I'm Todd Millard. And Scott Goodall?
Nope, I'm good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to be part of the podcast, by all means, hit us up at podcast@theredneckcountry.com. Again, that's podcast@theredneckcountry.com. And be part of it. Join us and have a blast. I hope you enjoyed it. Sitting around the campfire having some fun.